Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Christmas photo show. Our experts here are raring to go. We've got some ideas from presents for you to buy you either yourself or your loved ones who may be into photography. So let's go around the board, meet everyone. Good evening, Damien. How are you?
Very good, thank you very much. Very good. So Merry Christmas to everybody, and looking forward to the festive season.
Great. And Ian, how's things down in sunny Cornwall?
Not sunny at all. I've barely touched the camera for a few weeks now, which is a bit annoying. I'm getting itching to do something, but with the dark mornings and dark evenings and work, especially working in retail this time of year, it's just.
Okay. And Neil, you're not in Switzerland at the moment, are you? You've actually come back to Blighty.
Yeah, I drove through the snow, done all my tests, and I'm free for the show.
Good. Old Boris will be happy with that. You've got to get your booster jab next now to protect yourself. Do you qualify for that?
I would have had it last week, but I didn't want it to interfere with the tests.
All right, okay. Okay.
It can interfere with the tests. So right. It's all lined up when I go back.
Okay. And you're here for a bit of work as well as a bit of...
Work next week and then a week's holiday.
Great. Okay. Right. So what we're going to do in this show, slightly different format from normal, we're just going to look at some Christmas present ideas. There's not really a tremendous amount of news at the moment to really talk through. And again, the kit is pretty much what we've been discussing for the last few shows. So we're going to put that to one side just for this show. And we'll talk to the guys here about what they're looking forward to themselves for Christmas and what they would recommend as Christmas presents. And what we've done is we've done a kind of like a cheapy one, right? About a £10-15 bracket. Then there's more mid-range, 10 to maybe up to £100. And then there's the £100 plus. So I know immediately we've got a Canon R3 there and we've got the Z9 already thing and Damien wants his Hasselblad, but we'll keep that to, that's the lottery winning prize, Christmas present you're gonna buy yourself hopefully sometime. So let's get into our topic tonight, which is going to be Christmas presents. So let's start off at the budget end of the market where you might be looking for an infill present for someone who's into their photography. So let's start off, I think, tonight with Ian. What have you got for us for around about a tenner?
Yeah, I've got, this is a branded one. You can get them unbranded. I actually won this online, but I found it really useful. It's called a Spuds. So it's a cleaning cloth and it's got a little hook on it. So you know, I keep it hooked onto my shoulder strap. To be honest, most of the time I use it just to clean my glasses. But it's hooked onto like the shoulder strap and the cloth just pops out and it just tucks back in on itself. So it's just, you know, it's always there and it's just really easy, accessible, handy to use. Cheap little gift.
Yeah. Is that washable? Can you clean it?
I guess you could hand wash it.
Yeah, they advertise washing those things, mate.
Yeah, you can. I guess the clip looks like the clip. You can take the clip off, actually. But right. Yeah.
I think you could probably just lob the whole thing in.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite handy. I'm surprised how much I have used it because rather than rooting into my bag to find a cloth, it's literally clipped on my bag. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, and what's that called? The Spuds.
Spuds, yeah.
Okay, I'll put the link up here for people to have a look at that. Okay, Neil, what have you got to show us tonight?
Well, on behalf of Ian, I thought I'd choose a book because I know how much Ian likes his books. But this one's not so much aimed at people like Ian that have got quite a bit of experience. It's those people that want to get into photography and maybe read up on exposure and shutter speed and get a bit of inspiration on how to take the photos. It's called Read This Book If You Want to Take Great Photographs. Now, there's a series of these books, and this is one I actually bought for one of my sons about a year or so back. It's split into five sections. It covers exposure, light, lenses, and the art of seeing, as in the actual composition of the photograph. And it talks about masterpieces as well. It's nicely illustrated. It's not a big, thick, heavy book. sort of, it's an A5 size, so you can stick it in a backpack if you wanted to take it with you. But it's just a nice book for someone looking to get into photography, and at $9.99, I think it's a good price. It's a good price as well. They do a series of these. They do one on landscapes and portraits. I don't know those books in particular, but this one is just generally on photography itself and is a nice place to start.
Is it a series of authors, or is it one particular author?
No, it's there's a couple of authors involved in this book, but it's by one particular publisher.
You see a lot of these kind of things advertised on the phone and online, you know, these courses you can sign up for and join up. Are they any good, or are they just money-making efforts by people?
Some are good, some are money-making efforts. This particular book's been around for a little while, and it's still out there. It's still selling quite well. And as I say, I've particularly bought this one in the past for my son, who was interested in getting started, and he absolutely loved it. Good. So it's a good book. It's aimed at the kind of the beginner that wants to know a bit more and actually wants to get off of auto and then start looking at aperture, shutter and exposure levels and just the general photography away from auto, everything.
Good. Talking about books, I've discovered my local Oxfam bookshop, and there's a photography section in it. And so I'm regularly going through the books in the photography section, reading them, and the books like this one, and then they're like little books that you can read for about 2 weeks, and then I give them back to the shop and then buy another one. So I found a source of books that I don't have to store at home, and I've just
got
one.
I thought you said you'd be standing in the shop reading the book and then just put it back on the shelf and walk out and not buy it.
I'm removed from that.
As long as you buy one or two at a time, yeah, give them a little bit of support. That's great. Good. Right. And Damien, what have you got for us for this budget section?
I've got a lens. It's a lens pen. I love these lens pens. So you just they've got a nice little brush at one end and a little soft end to the other. And then I just love going around in circles on the lens and cleaning it. And they're very good. I buy one every couple of months and use it. And I think they're always a good buy, a good stocking filler to have in.
Yeah.
And I've got a few knobs there for me and dogs.
Yeah, I actually bought two at the photography show just gone. I don't use the cleaning end as such.
I don't particularly use that, but the brush I find really useful
just for, you know, turning the lens upside down and just sort of brushing off the
I was fed up
of only having one and then it being in the wrong bag when I go out, so I bought a couple at the show, so I've got like one in each bag.
yeah
you don't have to clip them to you, then you just put them in the bag and you find them.
He'll be walking around like Batman soon with a utility pouch, all these little bits and pieces stuck on what I need to do, you know. Okay, yeah. So simple ideas there for you know, a little budget present. So let's move on to section two. So this next section, we're looking at slightly more expense, about up to maybe about £100, and these are items that I think maybe more that you're giving a close photography relative or friend, or maybe even yourself. So let's go around the board again. Let's start off with Ian. This clamp.
A small rig clamp. I mean, they come in a variety of sizes, shapes, different attachments on the end. I absolutely love this. Absolutely adore it. I'd be lost without it now because I've had so many uses for it. But it basically, on one end you've got a clamp which, you know, opens up nice and wide, so you can clamp it onto various things. On the other end you've got a standard for three-quarter nut. It's loose like that, so it can go in all different positions, and when you tighten it off, it tightens all of the joints up in one tighten.
All right.
But I've used it for doing time lapses on my phone. So I'll have a phone mount screwed in here, and I can, you know, I've had it like clamped onto the window handle and done time lapses out the window of the sunset, and I've put LED lights on it, and I can clamp it on the side of a table. Could put a speed light on it and clamp it up somewhere nice and high, you know, maybe on a curtain rail or something to give like a nice hair light on a portrait shot. I mean, it's just so many uses. It's absolutely brilliant. I wish I'd known about it sooner, because I only got it, only had it about a year or so, but it's so good. Right. Really good.
So what sort of weight does that one take?
I don't know, actually, but...
What would you put on
everything
it?
Speed light, LED, I've got a small LED panel, all that sort of stuff that I've chucked on it, it's no problem.
Anything up to a kilo.
Yeah, I'd say so. I wouldn't want to stick an SLR or anything like that on it, but for sort of accessory lighting, that sort of thing, it's really good.
I've seen the arms before I've got a tripod that the arm would fit on. Does that detach the arm from the clamp?
You can do, yeah, because that's again, it's tight, but yeah, it's on this, it's the same. On this side, so you can put different attachments on it, but
on my tripod, I've got the same 3/4 inch connection you'd have for the camera, and they for Leo Photo, the tripods, they have arms that you can
off the tripod. Small rig also make the cages that you can buy to go around the cameras that have all like the different holes. And I think you could attach this to that, so then you can have a video light off of your camera and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really versatile.
I like the fact that you can tighten it with just one fixing.
Yeah, so
the one, once you've got... one thing I dislike, I've got a similar kind of thing for my GoPro. But on that you've got about three axes on it, and each one's got to be tightened up individually. So by the time you've tightened two up, it's a real flaff.
Once you've got your position, this joint, this, and the clamping, that is rock solid. Absolutely solid.
I like the look of that, As I said, fiddling about with the GoPro one, it's a real flaff. You get two right, and then the other one's gone wrong. Then you've got to go back, you redo that one, real flap. Okay, nice present there. You like that one. Neil, you were looking at a strap. Let me show you the link here.
So I bought this is a Black Rapid sports strap, camera strap. Now, they do it as a single strap, and they do it as a double strap. I recently bought one because I was doing some photography at a sports event, because I'm always having to put one camera down to take a picture with the other camera, which is a bit of a bind, because especially on a wet day, you don't want to put the camera down on wet grass or mud. And I spotted this, and I read some reviews. And the nice thing about it is it has a clamp that screws into the bottom, which allows the strap to freely flow through it. So as you pick the camera up with the strap just runs through it. So the camera is kind of free to move up and down the strap, which means it's free to drop back down at your side. It's not really pulling on you, so that you can use the camera free with, here, or move it around without this strap pulling on your body yourself. And they make them in singles or doubles. The single is on Amazon £71. You can buy the double. It's not quite as much to buy two, but the double also, then you can take apart and effectively make two single straps. But it works really well. You kind of look a bit like a cowboy with two cameras hanging at each side. It's kind of quick draw when you've got the two there, but actually it's really, really useful. And if you get the lengths right, when you kneel down, they don't touch the ground, so the cameras just hang there freely. But you can almost put one down to your side and then pick the other one up. I haven't got the strap here because I'm back in the UK, otherwise I'd show you it myself. They were really, really comfortable. I wore one of these for about 5-6 hours through two rugby matches, and it really, really comfortable. I had a 7200 on one side, and whatever on the other. The other was a 2470 2.8 on the other. And I didn't even notice the cameras were there. It was nicely balanced. It was comfortable. They were easy to use, pick up, put down. Initially, you have to get the length of the strap right so that it doesn't touch the ground when you're kneeling or something. But once you've got that, brilliant. Absolutely lovely. Super, super easy to use. Take it on and off. Great. Okay. Love it.
I've often seen professional...
They're quite specialist. You're really looking for two cameras you need to use with it and that.
Well, this is a single one. And to be honest, with the two, it's great. And that's really if you're doing things like sports. But if you are if you're out hiking or anything like that, it just hangs out the way. But when you pick it up, you don't have this strap that's kind of pulling. As you pick it up, it's kind of pulling around your neck or on your side, or you have to, you get it to here and it's like, oh shit, I need to move the strap a bit more to get it here. And then when you put it down, it just goes straight back to where it is because it slides on the strap. That's the nice thing about it. It just slides up the strap and back down because the connection to the camera is effectively loose. It just slides up and down a strap. And you can even, they have little clamps so you can limit how far maybe it goes up or down as well. Kind of limiters that you can just easily adjust.
And it feels...
I tend to go for camera straps that are a bit more designer type with snazzy colours. So my daughters have bought me snazzy, impractical, but very, very, very sort of attractive.
You can get these in really nice leather designs. Well,
can you get them in good colours then? Right.
Oh yeah.
The snazziness of the camera.
The sports straps are generally black, but for a sports photographer, they're super, super great. Whether you have one camera or two, you can buy the single or the double. They are very good, very comfortable. And if you're somewhere where you want your hands to be free as well when you're not taking photos, they're great. Really, really great.
And they're totally secure. You feel safe and confident that the camera's going to stay on, they're not going to come off or anything like that.
I walk around, as I say, I walk around with two cameras all day long with this during two games of rugby with an hour in between. And I didn't have to bother at all.
Good.
They were never coming.
Yeah, because I had something similar a few years ago for doing a wedding, actually, so I could have access to two cameras. But it was a cheaper version. But I always felt nervous about that screwing into just the tripod fixture on the bottom of the camera.
The fixing on these, it's a screw in, but they have a rubber washer as well. So the rubber washer kind of takes up that play and adds a bit of resistance to it. So when they advise you screw it in by hand, and then when you connect it, you give it an extra half turn.
Yeah,
really good. Really good.
Excellent.
You don't get weighted down one side, because I've got a good friend who's a physiotherapist, and whenever I take a camera bag or do anything, I always try and get the center of it along the body, because if you're going down one side or another, it will probably cause you problems in later life.
Mm. This goes across the body, but it has a loop in across the kind of shoulder chest as well. No, I never felt that at all.
No.
With the two, if you had really one camera that was way heavier than the other, maybe you would. Yeah. But it was very comfortable to wear.
Okay, looks a good pick. Okay. You were looking at this, was it an Ellie clamp?
Well, I'm throwing it open for discussion because I haven't got one, and do I need one? And I just see lots of people with them, and I think to myself, well, it looks a bit strange having this L clamp on, and is it worth buying the L clamp? I think it's only about 50 quid, so is it a piece of metal that I need on my camera to go with my tripod? I'll be interested to hear what people say about it.
And what's its main function then? What does it do?
It helps you. So when you're taking a picture in landscape format, that's great, but if you want to go into a longitudinal format, a vertical format, then some of the tripods you'll be leaning to one side. So the L one means you can do a quick unclip and then keep the camera central on the tripod. I understand that's what it does. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I bought one at the photography show a couple of years ago and I love it. I was a bit unsure, but a lot of photographers, on YouTube and that I was watching, were sort of raving about them. is the convenience of, you know, if you've set your tripod, you've got it nice and level, you're in landscape, you want to try a portrait shot. It's literally because it's an Arca Swiss fitting as well, so it'll fit a standard Arca Swiss tripod head. You literally, I can go from landscape to portrait, a couple of unturns, and I'm slot it back in, tying it up, and I'm into portrait. And I haven't, you know, when you have got, you know, an SLR, maybe, you know, a 2.8 lens on your camera, there's a lot of weight. When you start, you know, traditional tripod head, if you flip the tripod head into a portrait, you haven't got that center of gravity, so all of a sudden you're set off to one side. It just keeps it nice and stable in the center.
But I've also got a very long lens, so it's not going to be particularly suitable for that long lens, because it pushes you onto the lens, the attachment.
Can you fix this to the lens? Some lens have got clamps on them. You can fix the lens to the tripod rather than.
I think it's just a body thing, isn't it?
Just a body. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You're right. I've noticed that a couple of times, especially if you've got a 7200 on it and you go into portrait, it just immediately feels unsafe on the tripod, even if you've got a fairly good one. Even trying to get leg underneath the side that it's leaning over to, it never feels totally secure.
But if you're using a longer lens, really you should be mounting the lens onto the tripod.
Yeah. I've done that, but even so, when you turn it, when you move the whole
you're holding it wrong. Unscrew the tripod mount slightly and just
turn it inside. You can do that.
Or if you have a longer lens that's got a collar on, you just unscrew the collar and turn the camera.
There you are. Tip number one. Thank you very much, guys.
I have on both my Nikon Zs. They both have L brackets. Now, one's a cheap one that I got off of eBay. And one is a more known manufacturer whose name slips my mind. But they're both as good as each other, I have to say. They really are both as good as each other. I wouldn't go back from using them now.
No, I'm the same. I do love mine. I got a three-legged one. I can't remember which mine is called, because they do give their weird names for three-legged things. But one thing to bear in mind is you do have to buy, if you're going down the three-legged thing route, you do have to buy an L bracket that is fit for your camera.
That's so, pretty much true for all of them, though, Ian, as well.
Yeah.
Because you have to buy the one for your camera.
Yeah, because of where the holes and stuff are cut out for access to, like, the, you know, your remote cable release sockets and stuff like that. So it's just something to bear in mind that, you know, when you go and change your camera, potentially your L bracket is not going to be compatible. So. Yeah. Or if you've got more than one camera, it might be that you're not going to be able to use the L bracket on one and switch it onto the other body if it's a different body.
I'm not sure I'm going to get it for Christmas if I ask my other half about it, because apparently all my presents have been bought, so I might not really be able to get this one
in stock at Wex and standard delivery within 2 to 3 working days, so she might still get it in time for Christmas.
Yes, I know, I'll have to convince her, yes. Yeah.
Leave the link I'm showing here on the screen everywhere around. Embed it in emails to her and stuff like that. Oh, sorry, how did I do that? Oh, did you see that? Sorry about that.
Hey, and stick the Black Rapid strap to it as well. That's the other great thing about these brackets. You can screw your strap straight into them.
Right.
All right. Very clever.
Yeah, because it's the same mount that you use for the tripod. Usually there's 2 or 3 different threaded holes on these brackets, so you can screw your camera strap into it as well.
One thing I do like about the three-legged thing, when I got mine, it comes with a key fob that has the Allen key on it, because it's an L, where the two pieces meet,
yes,
they're tightened up by Allen keys.
Okay.
So you've always got it with you to tighten it up and to tighten it onto the camera itself. And it's also got a bottle opener in it.
Another little thing attached to your backpack harness, Ian.
It's funny. I want to run down and grab my camera bag right now because the tripod I got, they've got a bottle opener with the Allen keys pushed in at different places on it, and it's brilliant. So you've always got it there to tighten up the tripod. So it's great. You can pop a bottle of beer over.
Yeah, so get the important things in life in place there. Yeah, open the bottle.
Yeah. These manufacturers have got a low opinion of photographers, haven't they?
Right.
Was out drinking whilst doing photography.
Yeah. Right, okay. Some good picks there. I like that. I'm spending lots of money here, guys. This isn't good for me, but yeah, I like that. Okay,
just keep clicking that button.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's move on to our last thoughts and ideas. These are for a bit more expensive, a bit more pricey presents that you might want to look to get people. Or, of course, yourself is the big one, isn't it? These might be things you're looking at as your Christmas present to you. Okay, let's start off with Neil. What would be your big present?
So when my Z9 arrives under the Christmas tree,
right, that's a given.
As Santa's now promising, I'm going to need something to put it in when I go hiking. I've been looking at bags for a long time to try and find a good balance between hiking and photography. Now, there's always this thing where you take too much photography gear and not enough hiking gear, et cetera, et cetera. I went up to the mountains this last summer to do some star trail photography, and the bag I use for hiking, the rucksack I use for hiking, has no place for a camera in it, and it was a bit of a mess. And I've come across these Shimoda bags, which are pretty good, it seems, a little bit on the pricey side. And the one I'm looking at is a 50-litre bag at in pounds, it's £380. It's actually a bit cheaper in Switzerland, I have to say, because of the tax. You can put different inserts in the bags, which is quite interesting. So you can buy the bag without the insert, and then put which insert you want. They cover like a small, medium, and large insert you put in. But depending on the insert you put in, depends on how much space you have left for your hiking gear. Now, it's got a lot of space on the outside for a tripod, or for instance, I've got a small tent that's a couple of kilos that I'd strap on the back of it. But it has enough space inside with the medium insert, I think, to put a mirrorless DSLR, a couple of extra lenses in there, which would do me for, you know, like a 24-70 or a 7200, and maybe a prime for doing the star trails. So which gives me enough to, when I go hiking, I can capture those animals that are a little bit further away, but yet still have enough like landscape flexibility as well as a prime for doing star trails. Yet the bag, because you only select the medium part, it still gives you a little bit of space for like enough room for overnight sort of clothes. A lot of camera bags are camera focused, and then there's not much room for other stuff, or you get a lot of a bag that's got nothing to do with cameras and you somehow have to safely wrap your camera inside it, but then you can't get quick access. This bag has access through the back of the bag, so when you take it off you can lay it down and access your camera gear without getting it covered in anything from the surrounding area. Or you can grab the camera from the side of the bag, so it's got a side access to the bag as well. Really, really nice bag, well made. The top part of the bag, actually you roll it down and then connect the straps together to actually keep it waterproof, and the top section is waterproof from where the camera is as well. So you've got a good segregation between your hiking gear and your photography gear, so you're not going to get any dirt in there or dust and stuff into where your camera's stored. Really, really useful in that respect. They are a little bit expensive. The one negative thing I would say about the bag is some stuff you think which include like a rain cover, it's an accessory, and that annoys the hell out of me. Mm. But having said that, it's water resistant anyway. So most of the time, I wouldn't carry the rain cover with it. I'm guessing you can use other rain covers with it if you wanted to. It's a lovely bag. It seems very comfortable. The waist strap that they have there is also removable, as well as being adjustable, so that it's more comfortable to wear as well. So yeah, it's a great bag, and it's one that's on my shopping list.
Right.
What I'm always interested in bags is the extra little pockets that you get. So what are the side pockets like, the pockets underneath it, and the pockets on the front, so to speak?
So this bag's more of a traditional rucksack that has access to your camera gear, but it does have pockets incorporated in the straps as well. So you've got a little on the waist strap, there's a small pocket in there you could where you can stick bits of rubbish and stuff if you wanted, like if you'd eaten a chocolate bar or something, it's got like a little stuff pocket. It also has a pocket on there where you can keep little snacks. On the shoulder strap, there's somewhere you can put a phone in there. So they've thought of those small things.
Okay.
There's a couple of places to store water bottles, all the traditional stuff you'd find on a rucksack. It's got plenty of straps on it, so you can drop things in. So you wanted hiking poles, tripod, and a small tent, you can strap those all to the outside to give you that little bit of extra space. It doesn't have lots and lots of pockets, which I'm kind of glad about, because I'm one of these people that never remember what I've put in what pocket, and I'll open every single pocket to try and find it. So I'm quite happy about that. But it has enough storage.
But it doesn't have a built-in bottle opener, so that's something you're going to have to attach.
Yeah, but I've got one of them.
Okay, right, great. Okay.
I know of a couple of photographers on Twitter that rave about the Shimodo bags.
Yeah.
And yes, they are pricey, but I think you know if you are hiking expensive camera gear, you know, it's like no point spending £20 on a tripod and sticking a £2,000 camera on it. So it's that similar principle. If you're going to get caught out in a heavy snow rainfall, you want a quality bag.
Nice and deep as well, which is good. So rather than having to lay your lenses into it, especially with primes, and then you lose kind of that depth of the bag because it's not deep enough to stand it up. But it's, you know, it's slightly, you have to take up slightly more space with laying the lens down. It seems there's a bit more depth in there, which is quite interesting to me, especially for the Z9 that obviously is going to be left under my tree.
Yeah. I've just shared an Amazon one that I own in Slack. I'm not advocating that this is be any good for sort of what you're looking for, Neil, but I use it my wife bought me this 50 Walks of Cornwall book, and I've been slowly sort of ticking them off. And this bag is big enough for me to SLR 24 to 70 in the bottom. And then it's got a top section separate to the camera section where I can put a drink, a bit of lunch. And it's a fantastic bag. I use it all the time, and it's just an Amazon Basics bag, but it's really well built. Yeah. Comes with a rain cover. Don't have to buy it separately.
I have a very similar one, in a low pro version that I won. And very good. But I need something for overnight.
This is no way that the Amazon one is good for going out mountains, but as a general day walking bag, it's been brilliant, really good.
Yeah, in case you get caught out in a shower or rain or whatever, something like that. Yeah, I've got I've got the Amazon Basics bag, and it's perfect. It does me fine. And I say, a couple of times I have been caught out, put the supply with a. An add-on rain cloth, and it kept everything dry as a bone. I was soaked through, but the camera was safe, which was the most important thing, you know. Okay, Ian, what's your top pick?
Yeah, my pick, I've got it as well. I got it this week. Epson ET 8550 printer. It's an A3 printer. It's it's part of their EcoTank range.
Right.
So rather than taking ink cartridges, it has refillable ink tanks. My friend Ken, who you met at the photography show, he bought the previous model a couple of years ago at the show. And after a year, he was still on the original ink tanks, ink bottles.
Really?
And he'd done a hell of a lot of printing, because he'd done a lot of printing for myself. So my mind was already made up that I wanted to get one. And I've got it this week, and first impressions, really pleased with it. The actual process of filling the tanks up is really satisfying. It's six ink tanks, but the bottles have got different nozzles on. So in theory, you can't put the wrong ink in the wrong tank. And you just sit the bottle there. And once they get to the sort of the maximum line on the printer, they automatically stop filling. So just the setup process was really easy. And I've done an A4 print, which is not going to come out over Zoom, but I'm just really, really pleased with the quality. I've done an A3 today as well. Really pleased. Yeah, but it's not a cheap pick. But,
no.
But it's, take all good. These photos. I think it's a shame not to print some of them and just have them sitting on small screens and stuff.
And to print up to A3 size, that's pretty decent. What is it? Is that onto special photo paper as well? Do you use proper photo quality paper for that?
Yeah, I try and always buy paper at the photography show, because you can feel it and get a good idea of what it's like. This one, this Lizard shot, this is on Olmec paper. This is a satin paper. It's beautiful. I mean, obviously over Zoom, it's you can't tell, but the Olmec stuff is really good.
Because you recommended papers once before on the show, didn't you, Ian?
Probably, yeah, that would have been the Olmec stuff, probably.
Yeah, I think I remember you showing us that. I think I've got a box of it somewhere. I went and got some for that. Sounds a work of art. Are Epson among the top of doing photo printing? Are they very good?
No, I think a lot of the professionals are into like the Canon Pro series. But I mean, they are mega money, and the ink cartridge costs are just crazy. I mean, a set of inks for this Epson, a set of six bottles, which are 70ml bottles, is £90.
Yeah.
I mean, they say you can do sort of 2,300 pages, A4 photo pages out of this printer on the set of inks, which is mad. I mean, I was just getting fed up of paying my previous Canon printer, which did a lovely print. You know, I was paying £20 for colour, £20 for black ink, and I just chewing through them so quickly. Yeah. I was to the point where I'd only print if I really needed to print, and I don't want to be in that position. I want to be able to just print.
Yeah.
How do you think it works out economics opposed to using a print service?
I don't know.
Beyond the convenience, obviously.
I've used print. I've used print services, and the only danger with that is it comes back and it's just not quite colour matching how you want it. Whereas if printing at home, if it's not quite right, you can tweak it, potentially reprint it. Yeah, there's pros and cons to all of it, isn't there? I want to be able to print more at home and not be afraid to print. I've got several pictures on the walls, which probably some of them are over a year old. It'd be nice just to refresh them a bit more frequently.
Right. Damien, do you print at all at home, or is it something you do?
I don't do very much printing, really, no. So that's it'll be expensive for myself. I don't print many of my pictures out, and if I do, there's only a selection of them that I print out. So I suppose it's just the way that I was thinking about this the other day, because I don't do that much printing of my pictures. And it's mainly because all my life I've presented over PowerPoint and presented over Prezi and things like that. But all my pictures have always been on a digital format. So, and when at home, I much prefer getting a piece of artwork than my own pictures being printed. It's very strange for me to say that as a photographer, but that's what I tend to prefer, the art, or rather than the printed picture. My daughters love my pictures, and a recent picture of mine I got into an exhibition I've put up. But if you came to my house, you'd probably find only one or two pictures of mine printed out.
But then you never have to worry, Damien, because you'll show up on BBC News and the background of pictures and all the time, don't we? so there's one. There's one. I'll just screenshot the TV. It's great, you know.
I honestly don't know why I don't print out more pictures, but it's something that I don't do. And
get Ian to print them for you.
Yeah,
there's this new service online.
Yeah. That's right.
It's online called eImprint.
So what do you do when you printed out all those pictures? Where do they go? I mean, I know for camera clubs and things like that, printed pictures is really important. But then, do you just have a stockpile of the pictures rather?
Well, my mindset is probably starting next year. I want to get like a sort of archival box, and I want to print them through the course of the year and almost have like a box for 2022 that, you know, we'll sit there and one day, a few years' time, I can pick it up and go through it. But there is something about the print, definitely. It's worth it. There is a...
Right.
It's really strange. I love seeing pictures printed in magazines, and I like books and things like that. But... I see a picture, I really enjoy it, I enjoy looking at it, but then I move on to the next picture.
Yeah. I always think back to, it's kind of a nice memory in a sad way. When my grandfather died, we found a shoebox full of black and white photos.
Yes.
And I remember when we found them, we must have spent, completely diverted, an hour and a half, two hours just went by going through this stack of old black and whites, going, oh, who's that? Oh, that's Aunt Gladys, that's Auntie, you know. It's just, it was a great thing. And when you think about it now, I think we've talked about this before. And if somebody comes and picks up your stuff, it's just no memory. Because all these photographs are on a phone, a PC.
Yes.
They might be on an Instagram account or a Facebook account. They'll pop up from time to time. But if there's a box, somebody's going to look in the box. When they look in the box, they'll find your memories, this thing you did, you produced. And I think there's something special about that.
I'm not saying I print out a yearbook every year. So it's
now we get to the truth.
Yeah, but it's not printed out on a wall. It's not displayed on a wall that much. Yeah. I've only got one of my pictures displayed in the house.
My other thought process was the design, the zine that I did previously, I've already got an idea of the next one, which I'm sort of shooting
oh
for
god am and I that's that gonna cost us
so, yeah
no one would want to buy it's after torture. The last one yeah. I was generally thinking I could print the images out and almost mock the book.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool idea.
You know, do these two images work next to each other, and I could tweak it. Because looking at it on a screen is okay, but it's different funny, when you sort of feeling it.
It's funny what you say that when I was doing my Open University thing, when it came to the final project, I actually went and got all the photographs printed out, and I had them laid out on a table to see if they would work in that order. And it was nice to be able to take this photograph and, you know, put it next to that one and move them around, physically move them around to see if it would work. And I think there's a big benefit in that.
Yeah. Of course, the only thing I will say that you mentioned about the shoebox of photographs from when you find from older relatives, unfortunately, so much of that history goes when the person passes away. You don't know who these people are. I when my mum and dad passed away, I got inherited these albums, and I think I know who some of the people are. Some of them might even be me as a baby, but I can't be sure. So if you have that kind of relative,
those ones are black and white, are they?
Yeah. They're glass sepia ones, Ian. You know, developed in a bucket somewhere. If you've got that, go and see your relatives and get the information about who these people are, the photographs. As I said, I've got no idea who some of them are, and it's a real shame that whole tranche of history, your family history, just passes away and goes. You know. So
Ian, when you do your box, are you gonna write on the back somewhere, you know, what it was, where it was?
Yeah, probably. I probably need to, otherwise, it's not gonna mean anything to someone later down the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I that's one thing I do like, looking at the back of picture. We've got bought some pictures, and the artists have written down who they are and where they're painted. And the picture that I got up I've actually typed out an A4 sheet and sealed it in the picture so that people can read it at a later date.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that turns to you now, Damo. What would be your big Christmas present if you had the chance?
It's an impulse buy. I've always been a lens baby person. I've got a lens baby, a very old lens baby. I bought about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and it was one where you dropped in the rings. You had a little magnetic dropper, and you could drop the F22 ring, or you could put the F4 ring in, and it was all manual stuff. But these days, lens babies are very much more automatic, and some people would say they're a little bit of a trick lens, but I quite like the effect of them. And I'm almost, but now the price of them is expensive. And I put down the velvet one, and I quite like the effect that you get around the sides of it. And even on the composer, where you can get the sweet spot in the center, and then you can shift it to one side and move it around. And I think if I had the £300 and there was nothing, and you know, I need to buy, I think I'd probably pick up a lens baby and go for it. I don't know if you two have ever had a go of lens babies before.
I've personally never come across this before. It's all new.
I've heard about them but never used them for sure, but yeah. Seems something, you know, if somebody gave me, I'd have a play with.
Was it Luma photography? It gives you that sort of bokeh around a swirly effect around the edges and a sweet spot, so you get quite a nice effect with them. But they're worth playing around with. You just put lens baby in, and there's a whole subculture in photography of people who swear by them. I mean, mine is just an old one now, because when they was first coming out, you had to manually change the focus rings with them, and I can't update it. But sometimes I bring it out, and if I get it down to an f5.6 and f4 and drop the ring in, it gives a really nice tight sweet spot, and then all the blur around the outside of it. I can send a picture of a couple of the shots of them.
Yeah, send them through and we'll show them up here for the
They were taken a few years back, because I've not really got it out that much these days. It's just a bit impractical to set it all up now. But these new lenses, they just connect in, and then you focus, and away you go. And they're good
for the shoes. There's a few examples with that, the link.
Yeah, I've always found that they're one of those things that are very niche. The people that use them love them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the effects are always quite interesting. It's not something that I've ever gotten into. And you know, would I spend £339 on a lens that I probably rarely use? No, but if someone was going to give me one to have a play with, certainly I'd happily have a play with.
And that's what I say, a Christmas present is like that. Somebody was going to buy that for Christmas, you'd have a great good play with it. But it's like the lens ball. I think the lens ball is great fun, but there's only a couple of photographs that I really get a good picture out of it, and then I lug it around in my camera set, and it only comes out probably once a month to have a go at, and I have to think about using it, and it is niche.
Seems like the sort of lens would be kind of cool to pick up the second-hand thing as well.
Yeah,
it's worth looking at some of the pictures and seeing what they're like, because I mean, once you have a little go at them, you can get lost in them for about a week or 2 weeks, and come out, and then you'll never use it again.
Right. Okay. So they're all our ideas for you to maybe think about presents for your photography friend or partner, or even yourself. So what we have a quick go around the board now is I want to ask the guys what in the new year they're looking forward to. Ian, what's your ideas and thoughts of what you'd like to see for next year?
Interesting. I don't know. I think it's been an interesting year in terms of progress, you know, the Z9s, the R3s. I think it'd be interesting to see some of this technology making its way down to some of the more prosumer cameras, if you like, and seeing how the technology filters down and what releases we get. I'm still surprised Canon haven't done a a crop sensor mirrorless camera. I don't know if that's going to be on the cards. That's something I'd be really interested in. Yeah, I think it's been an exciting year for mirrorless, and it'd be interesting to see how that. I don't think we'll see a massive step change in the technology next year. It'll be interesting to see how the current technology is filtered down to some of the lower models, if you like.
Okay. Neil, what do you think for next year? What are we looking at?
For me, it's not so much technology based. I'm looking forward to a bit of travel, to be honest. Not really travelled much in the last 2 years. In fact, we're just saying earlier today, I've not flown for 2 years nearly, which for me is completely unusual. So the bucket list is coming out, and it's a case of getting up to Finland, I think, to visit Thomas. Thomas, yes. We were on the show a few weeks back. I want to get up there. And I had an offer a couple of weeks back. I was doing a bit of portrait photography for a mate and their non-government organisation to go out to Cambodia and go out there and do some photography for them and the charity. And and go and visit Cambodia. I've never been. So travel's on the cards for me. Okay. Providing everything opens up.
I was going to say, let's hope that's possible with everything that's going on. Yeah.
We'll see. You know, it's a struggle to get back to the UK to see family, but I'd really like to see a bit of travel on the cards and tick off a couple of bucket lists and get some real special photos done.
Yeah. Yeah. Damien, what are you hoping for the new year?
I don't know. I mean, the travel bit really interests me, and we've got a family holiday booked in Hereford. And near to the Black Mountains. So I quite fancy that part of the world, which is interesting, not being there. I published my first NFT yesterday. Somebody who does my website has put an open sea, one of my pictures, the Christmas picture, and added some animations to it. I just left him to play with it. I wonder what that will do. That'll be quite good fun to have to see how the NFTs go, but I think that's just a bubble that will burst and go from there. So I'm on gear. I don't know. I don't think I'll be buying any new cameras. I've got so attached now to my Fuji camera and so enjoying it and enjoying the iPhone. I think I'm quite happy on my gear at the moment. So
remember that. Make a note of that.
I'm going to be more wanting to go to locations and taking pictures of places I haven't been to and seeing different things. And I've become one of the admins for IGA's Birmingham UK. And so it's quite good fun watching what other people take pictures of and getting involved in that type of thing. So, yeah, mixed thing. Bit of what Ian was saying, bit of what Neil was saying. And I'm sure there'll be some pictures that we'll all be enjoying from each other in the new year.
Good. Good. Well, my hope for the new year is that the photo show goes from strength to strength. We've had a great year this year. We've had some wonderful guests on and some fascinating subjects to discuss and try. And we've all had our eyes opened as to new aspects of photography, which is always there. So long may that continue. And hopefully next year we'll be doing the same. So
a quick mention to our sponsors, TSO Hosts, who provide all the services that we need to get these shows out to you all. They provide all the server bandwidth we need, as well as support for our systems. They're a great company to work with. I have my own site with them. And if you need anything to do with web, design, domain names, hosting, anything like that at all, please contact them. And if you mention BTN20, they'll even give you a big discount off your first orders. Our other main sponsor here is iMen Max here in Birmingham, who are able to service and repair and upgrade any Apple kit or Apple machines that you've got, and they can even provide some really good refurbished machines with excellent value for money. And they deal with any kind of problem, actually. That's a nice bunch of guys. Just give them a ring if you have an issue, anything to do with your Macs, and I'm sure they can help you out.
So, guys, this is our last show before Christmas. So I'm gonna wish you all a very happy Christmas and hope you have a very pleasant time and enjoy some time off. I know most of you are working quite hard. Damien, where can people get hold of you if they want to speak to you at all?
They can get hold of me on Damo on Instagram or Damo on Twitter.
Okay. And Neil?
You can get me at Dodsey Photo on Instagram or dodseyphoto.ch.
Okay. And Ian?
IanLewisPhoto.co.uk.
Okay, lovely. My name is Martin Kelly. You can get me a hold of me at martinkellymac.com or Magic Man in the BTN Slack room, and I'll put up a link here for if you want to join in with Slack. Just send us an email to this address, and you can join in that way. And Neil, we've also got a BTN Instagram site, haven't we?
Yeah, you can follow us at BTN Point Photo Show. And if you have any images you want us to talk about, then tag us in your images and we'll be sure to give you a shout out.
Okay, lovely. All right, so as I said, from me and all the guys here, we hope you have a great Christmas and get lots of good photographs over the Christmas break.
I've just thought about that Instagram. We should be doing reposting. I'll give you a little thing about reposting, and we could repost Jeff Cable's pictures and some of our guests and go from there.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Lovely. Okay. Right. So it's good night from me, and it's good night from the guys. Thanks very much, guys. Bye. See you next year.
Have a good Christmas.
Yeah. Bye now. Bye. Ian, what's your predictions or view for next year? What do you think is going to? Sorry.
Oh yeah, to beat the phone saved you, Ian.
Yeah, so it's all right. Again, I'll ring you back in a second. Sorry, I'm in the show. Okay. Right. Sorry about that. That's my daughter. Right. Okay. Let's go again. So
three. Celebrity. Yeah.